He swung about on his heel and went back to his chair. The others sat dead still. And then, after just the right interval had elapsed, he added, "If you wish, I can swear it on the Bible. For my own part, I believe that a man who will tell a lie will swear one also. I do neither. But I am at your disposal." It was very prettily said. For a moment he almost had me believing him. But I'd moved in just as seedy company as friend Bismarck and was up to all the dodges. "I don't care about Bible oaths," says I. "And anyway, I'm not sure that I like your little plot. I'm no pauper, you know." Which was a damned lie, but there. "And I'm not sweating to earn your 10,000. It's dishonest. It's deceitful and it's downright dangerous. If there was a slip, it'd cost me my head."
"And ours, remember," says de Gautet. "You would be in a position to betray us if you were taken."
"Thanks very much," says I. "That would be a great consolation. But, you know, I don't think I care for the whole thing. I'm all for a quiet life and..."
"Even in a Bavarian prison?" says young Rudy sweetly. "Serving 10 years as a ravisher?"
"That cock won't fight," says I. "Even supposing you took me back to Munich now, how would you explain my absence between the supposed crime and my arrest? It might not be so easy." That made them think, and then Bismarck chimed in. "This is to waste time. Whatever pressures were used on you initially, the point is that you are here now, and I need hardly tell you what will happen if you refuse my offer.
We are very lonely here. None saw you come, none would ever see you go. Am I plain? You have no choice, in fact, but to do as I require, and collect the fee, which I promise will be paid."
So there we were, the good old naked threat. They could slip my throat as neat as ninepence, if they chose, and none the wiser. I was in a most hellish fix, and my innards were churning horribly. But there was no way out, and they might be honest at the end of the day. By God, I could use 10,000, but I couldn't believe they'd come up to scratch. I wouldn't have, in Bismarck's place, once I'd got what I wanted. I didn't even dare think of the risks of their hare-brained impersonation scheme. But on the other hand, I couldn't contemplate the alternative if I refused. On the one side, a lunatic adventure fraught with frightful danger, and possibly a handsome reward. On the other side, death, no doubt at the bare hands of Herr Kraftstein. "Tell you what, Bismarck," says I, "make it 15,000. He stared at me coldly. "That is too much. The reward is 10,000 and cannot be increased." I tried to look glum, but this had cheered me up. If he was intending to play me false in the end, he wouldn't have hesitated to raise the stakes. The fact that he didn't suggest that he might be going to level after all.
"You're no pauper, you know,"
chuckled Rudy. "Damn him." I sat like a man undecided, and then I cried, "I'll do it, then."
"Good man," cries Rudy, and clapped me on the back. "I swear you're one after my own heart."
De Gautet shook my hand and announced that they were damn lucky to have such a resolute, resourceful, cool hand in the business with them. Kraftstein brought me another glass of brandy and pledged me. Even Bersonin deserted his post at the door and joined in the toast. Bismarck, however, said no more than, "Very good. We will begin our further preparations tomorrow." And then took himself off, leaving me with the four jacks in the pack. They were all affability now. We were comrades in fortune and jolly good fellows, and they did their best to get me gloriously fuddled. I didn't resist. I was shaking with the strain, and in need of all the fortifying liquor I could get. But through all their noisy bonhomie and backslapping, one thought kept pounding in my brain. "Oh, Jesus, in the soup again. How in God's name shall I get out this time?"